Well, as you find your seats, I just want to tell you once again, Merry Christmas to all of you. And I have to say, you all look so good. Like, I've never seen so many bows and sparkles and neckties and colorful socks all in the same room on the same day, and you look incredible. And I'm sure if we could see everyone who's joining us online, I'm sure that you all look incredible also. I think we'd see some Christmas best. I think we'd see some Christmas pajamas. I think we'd see a couple Santa hats. And I know looks aren't everything, but there's something about being in a room surrounded by so many people who look so good that really puts you in a festive mood, especially in a big gathering like this. Now, the hard part of a big gathering like this is that it can be easy, though, to get lost in the crowd. And so I have a couple questions for us to help you not feel like you are left out or alone or the only one here in a certain way. So here's some questions. And those of you joining us online, add your voice by answering the questions in the comment section also. Okay, first question, raise your hand if this month you had an Advent calendar. Who had an Advent calendar? Maybe those little chocolates or stickers. Maybe the adults had an adult beverage Advent calendar. My kids love the ones with the little chocolates, but my favorite Advent calendar that my wife actually organized a couple years ago, we had a different Christmas story every night of December. And so now, a couple years later, we actually just have a whole box of all these Christmas stories at the beginning of the month, and we get to read them all month. That was one of my favorite Advent calendars that we had. Okay, second question, and maybe you're gonna be surprised by who answers the same as you. Raise your hand if you recently snuck a cookie when you shouldn't have. It's okay, you can admit it, I know. Okay, it's hard. I know it's hard to admit that and to out yourself like that. Okay, maybe we should just confess what our favorite cookie is. If there's a child near you, I want the adult to tap the child on the shoulder. Tell them what your favorite Christmas cookie is. And those of you joining us online, type in the comments, what's your favorite Christmas cookie? I don't want no fights breaking out here because I know that could be contentious. All right, this last question is for everyone, kids, adults, everybody. Here's the last question. Raise your hand if you've ever felt like an outsider. Like maybe you show up somewhere and you don't really know that many people. Maybe you're not sure if you belong. Maybe you even feel a bit like a misfit. Now in the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer classic Christmas story, there is a place called the Island of Misfit Toys. And it's this lonely refuge for all the toys that were considered rejects or misfits. There's a cowboy who rides an ostrich instead of a horse. There's a bird who doesn't fly, but it swims. There's a train that has square wheels instead of round ones. And each one was made for a purpose, but they feel defective or broken or unwanted. And so they spend their days waiting, hoping that someone someday is going to come and see value in them again. And then in the story's beautiful twist, who shows up but Rudolph, the misfit reindeer with the nose that glows. And he finds them and he doesn't see them as rejects. He sees them as friends worth saving, and he promises to tell Santa, and by the end of the story, the toys are rescued and restored and given to children who love them. Now, for the discerning ear, you'll recognize that this is so much more than a children's story for the holidays, but it's actually a picture of the gospel, the good news of a God who doesn't discard anybody, but pursues every last misfit and redeems them into a story of love and restoration. And this is meaningful to each of us because we live in a world of misfit toys. People who feel forgotten, overlooked, or unqualified. People who believe that their flaws, their inexperience, is actually making them unusable in the kingdom of God. But the good news of Christmas is that God sees value where the world only sees brokenness. And for many of us, that's what part of what we've experienced as we feel God calling us in our hearts. But maybe when we first started coming to church, or even if you've been coming to church for a long time, you can still feel like a misfit even here at church. Because we look around at all the other people and we start hearing those lies in our head Oh, I don't belong here. Oh, my story is way too messy. I can't open up about that here. No, God can totally use other people, but not me. No, I'm too broken. I'm too inexperienced. I'm too young. I'm too old. But what if God chose you on purpose? Before you cleaned anything up, before you proved anything, because it seems that God has a habit of choosing people that others would overlook or ignore. That's why we're going to look at one of my favorite parts of the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2, because it talks about the shepherds. So open up your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2. If you're using the Black Seatback Bible, it's on page 44 of the New Testament, or you can pull it up on your phone. But Luke chapter 2. Now, if you've been a part of church for any amount of time, or if you've just seen a Christmas special on TV, you might have an image of the shepherds in your mind already. But I want to make sure that you know exactly the type of people that we're talking about. Because these shepherds weren't exactly influential or popular members of their community. Oftentimes, shepherds were lower class people, and they might have a home, but they got to have a second job to make ends meet and provide for their families. So they would hire themselves out to watch other people's sheep, which would mean that they would be gone from their families for long stretches of time. So any of you that have truck drivers in your family or travel nurses in your family, you know what it's like to be away from your loved ones for long stretches of time. But because the shepherds were always traveling out in the open country with the sheep, because they were always strangers in every town they visited, because they were often foreigners who were doing manual labor, their reputation was that they couldn't be trusted. And so people usually gave them a wide berth. So let me just say what we're all thinking. This is not the type of people that we think God would talk to. But maybe you can relate. Maybe you've had a job where you had to keep working while everyone else was celebrating. Maybe you've felt unseen or unappreciated. Maybe you've assumed that God could talk to other people, but not you. And yet, these are exactly the people that God chooses. So let's read together. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words, pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told to them. Beloved, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now our story opens up. It begins in the dark. In the middle of the night, everyone is asleep. And all of a sudden, there's a million angels sent by God to proclaim the good news that God's plan of healing and restoration is fully coming to be. The Savior, the one who rescues, the Messiah, the expected deliverer, the Lord, the one who has ultimate authority over everything, has been born. And if it were me, I would have sent those angels to all the rulers, all the leaders, all the upper echelon people, the kings, the prime ministers. I would have sent it to all the leaders of the different countries to let everyone know, get the word out. But that's not what God did. God didn't send his angels to the capital, but rather to the fields on the outskirts of the area. He didn't send his messengers to the main street. He sent them to the countryside, to the outsiders. These are the people that God chose as his first evangelists, the first ones who were then sent to share the good news that God had come to earth in the person of Jesus. And so here they were, they're taking turns with the night watch, and all of a sudden, light shines on them like a spotlight in search for something. And of course, they're terrified because they're not used to being highlighted. But the angel says, "Don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news. To you is born a savior." And I wonder if the shepherd said, "To me? Why me? I'm a nobody, bottom rung of the ladder. People don't even look me in the eye when I buy something from the store." But the angel backs up the statement when the rest of the heavenly host shows up to proclaim the good news to the shepherds. He says, "Yep, God's sure that he wanted you, and he was so sure he sent a million of us to make sure you knew it." Because here's the truth. God loves to use the least and the lowest to share his incredible gift of grace. See, the world tells us that only the powerful or only the rich can make an impact, right? Only political leaders can make a change. Only celebrities can influence the masses. That's what most people believe, right? And so the rest of us, we just try to live good lives in our little spheres, even though we know that our own kids, our own best friends, they're more influenced by YouTube and social media than by us. Or at least that's what we tell ourselves. And it's easy to get down about it. And so we wonder, do we have a greater purpose in life? We wonder, is our whole life just supposed to be stumbling from one distraction to another, binging on TV, scrolling on the internet, daydreaming about the next purchase or the next trip over and over and over again, so that we drown out the feeling that we're not as close with our friends as we'd like? Our job isn't as fulfilling as we'd like. The money that's coming in isn't stretching as far as we'd like. And then we come here to church, or we're dragged here by grandma, and we hear about good news of great joy for all the people. But that's probably for other people. It's not probably good news for my life or my family. It's probably for someone else. And then the angel says, "Nope, it's good news for you." This wasn't just a general announcement. He said, "To you is born a savior." It's personal. And so these shepherds, they hear the message and then they hurry to act. There's no hesitation. They don't debate whether or not they should check it out. There's no maybe later. They don't ease into faith. They just move. Not because they're trying to earn anything, but because joy spills over naturally. And then in verse 17, they find the baby, the one they've been told about. And they can't help it. They gotta tell everyone else that they meet all about the angels and the message and the light and the incredible news. And then in verse 20, they go back to their job, praising God and making sure everyone knows what they heard and saw. These misfits, these poor, probably dirty, probably a little smelly, this group of nobodies, God uses them to be the first ones to see Jesus and then go and tell the good news of God's rescue to everyone. They are the first witnesses and the first messengers. And we don't even know their names. And here we are 2,000 years later, still talking about everything that God did through them. Christmas means that God didn't just come to rescue misfits. He came to claim us and call us his own, and then send us with good news for others. Because I know that you can be sitting in a packed room, singing beautiful songs, there's twinkling lights everywhere, and you can still feel like the one person who doesn't really fit here. In fact, I know that some of you may have come in today thinking that you were the last person God was thinking about. But this story tells us otherwise. This story shows us that God is always reaching out to the people who feel overlooked. Some of you came in today feeling anxious or numb or carrying more than you'll ever tell anyone about, more than you would ever post about online. But the good news that you need to hear is that you don't need to climb your way up to God, because God already climbed all the way down to you. And he didn't just come to rescue misfits like you and me. He came to claim you as his own. And now he's inviting you to say yes, to be sent with good news for others. Because Christmas is God's way of saying, I want you. Not the cleaned up version of you. Not the perfect version of you. The only gift that God wants is you. Not in 3 weeks when I get my life together, then I'll come back to you, God. He wants you now. He says, I want you because I love you. Because I came to shine a light into your life. I came to heal the parts of you that are hurt and broken. I came to give you new life. And remember that red connect card that we pointed to earlier. I would love it if everyone would just grab one from the seat back in front of you. You can pass it around to others, make sure there's enough for everybody, but grab the red connect card because it's a simple card. It's got a couple boxes. You might choose to check them out, and maybe you're here and maybe you're feeling God shine his light into your life for the very first time. And if that's you, I want you to check the box that you're saying yes to Jesus for the first time. Now, you might have been following God for a while, and you're feeling him call you back. You feel him calling you to recommit your life to following Jesus. And if that's you, check that second box about recommitting, because we want to help you. We want to give you resources in your walk with faith. We want to come alongside you and help you. And for those of you who already know Jesus, you're already doing your best with following him, and maybe he's actually whispering someone else's name to you right now. So I want you to check that box of prayer, next step. And you can put your prayer request on the back, or you can write the name of whoever God just put on your heart, because he actually wants to work through you to give good news to someone else. Never underestimate how God can use the yes of one misfit to reach so many others. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to be passing the plates for our tithes and offerings, and I'd like you to put that connect card in that plate when it comes by, because this is your moment to say yes to whatever God is putting in your heart. This is your moment to step fully into the point of Christmas, because Christmas is when we celebrate that the darkness cannot overcome the light. Christmas is when those who feel far off or overlooked get to experience God with us, who draws us close and claims us with his love. Christmas is when we realize that our shame can never keep away God's love, because his grace is so much stronger than anything we've ever done. We know this because Jesus didn't wait for the world to get his act together before he showed up. He stepped into the mess, into the dark. Jesus steps into your life so that he can bring you home. Isn't that good news? Amen.